If you are thinking that because there was no special, we're getting out here early, that just means I can preach five more minutes. Let's turn our Bibles. Oh, 3 minutes. Okay, it was a short special. Okay. Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And if you're not familiar with your Bible, it's in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And actually, I think in your bulletin I have 7 through 9. I'm actually going to read 6, verse 6 through 9 to kind of include that 6th verse there to help it out there a little bit. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Wonderful. I love to hear those pages turning. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, says this: For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, as we read and meditate on these words, Father, we just want these words to just fill our hearts and our minds here this morning. And Father, as your representative here, Father, I just need to speak what you want me to speak to your people here this morning, Lord, so that we can grow in you, that we can learn a little bit more about you. And Father, most of all, that we can glorify you, because it is all about you, Lord. We thank you for bringing us here today, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to put some finishing touches on last week's message when I told my story of how I was given the opportunity to witness to my mother just weeks before she passed away at the age of 81. The theme last week was persevering in prayer. And today I want to take some time to put God and man in their proper perspectives, because it is very easy to get these perspectives incorrect. I'll start by saying this. We know that all humans have inherited the sinful nature. Romans 3:23 says that, "For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." Romans 3, verse 10 says that there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands, no one who seeks God. So we do know this, that since we have this sinful nature, even though we are saved and become believers, we don't shake that entirely. One sinful trait that humans have is their ability to boast. To boast about our accomplishments and us. Look what I did. Look what I know. And sometimes it's easy to do without being aware that we're even doing it. But when it comes to boasting on ourselves, the Bible says this in Psalms 49, verses 5 and 6. It's what I read earlier today. It says this: "Why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me? Those who trust in their wealth and boast in their great riches." Psalm 52, verse 1 says this: "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty man? Why do you boast all day long, you who are a disgrace in the eyes of God?" Romans chapter 1, verse 30 says this about depraved people. It says that depraved people are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. He continues with many other adjectives after that in verses 30 and 31, and they all describe the depraved. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 says, in the last days, which, by the way, I believe we are in the last days, there will be terrible times that people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, etc. And one other verse, 1 John chapter 2, verse 6 says this, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but it comes from the world. We can conclude from these few scripture verses that man can be boastful about his riches, his evil deeds, himself, what he has, and what he does. And there's that list could probably go on and on and on about what man could boast about. And as I said before, boasting is part of the sinful nature because man, we want to think more highly of ourselves sometimes than what we really deserve. Sometimes man likes the view from the pedestal where we're up here and everybody else is down here. But man doesn't have to be the best. He just needs to be smarter, a little better looking, a little more talented, a little better athlete, and a little more attractive than the next guy. Not the best, just better. In the scripture passages that I just read to you, God is very specific that boasting on ourselves, on us, is sinful. And he does not want his own, and that would be us, the believers, he doesn't want us to do that. So this morning I'm going to pose three questions to all of us, that includes me, about boasting, along with three biblical answers and responses to that. My first question is this. Do we boast in our accomplishments and our talents? Do we boast in our accomplishments and talents? In the book of Judges, chapter 7, we read about a man named Gideon. And he's ready to lead the Israelites into a battle against this group of pagan people called the Midianites. Gideon starts off his army with 32,000 men. And then it's narrowed down to 10,000 men. And then it's down to 300 men. If you want to read the story, it's in Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8. Great story. With 300 men and absolutely no weapons at all, Gideon and his small army defeat the Midianites. And I would think that that certainly would have given Gideon and all the Israelites something to boast about. Look at what we did with so few people. But in Judges chapter 7, verse 2, the Lord says this to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into their hands. In order that Israel may not boast against me that her own strength has saved her. Announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. Logic says this, that it would have been easier for 32,000 Israelites to defeat the Midianites than 300. But God wanted to put his power on display and win the battle with only 300 men. The end result? The Israelites had absolutely nothing to boast about. They defeated an entire army with only 300 men that were carrying these three items: trumpets, empty jars, and torches. Now, those are certainly not weapons of the soldier, but they can certainly be weapons of the God that we serve. And because of that, in this story, God gets all the glory. God gets all the glory, not man. Gideon and his army did it in the power of God and not in the power of themselves. Our first fill in the blank would say this in our bulletin: we need to make God's power in our make God's power known. I think I forgot that word. We need to make known God's power in our accomplishments and talents. As I look around this room, I know that there are people who are certainly gifted at doing different things. And when someone may congratulate you, or maybe they give you a compliment, do you pass that on to say, God gets the glory? Because without Him, I probably could not do this. It certainly could be very easy for all of us to boast in our accomplishments and our talents too, but Gideon did not do it, but we could. But if we are to boast, and here's the lesson, I'm going to say this three times this morning: if we are to boast about our accomplishments, we need to boast only in the Lord. The Lord. Remember Philippians 4:13 that says this: we can do all things, or we can do everything through Him who strengthens us. He gives us the strength to get through that, whatever that is. We come up here and pray this morning. We have situations going on in our lives that are going to require some strength, some spiritual strength, some mental strength, some emotional strength. For those of you that might be going through that situation or know people that need that, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. It'll be God that will get us through those situations, not us. Our second question: do we boast in our witnessing? In our witnessing. Witnessing our faith to unbelievers can be very rewarding, because we know that God is using us. He's using me in the service of His kingdom. And it's even more rewarding if that person eventually comes to a salvation experience with Christ. But if you look at the story I told you last week about me witnessing to my mother, it could be very easy for me to pat myself on the back and say, look what I did. Look what I did. You know, I showed up in that hospital room and I shared Jesus Christ with my dying mother, and look at me. We could do that. After all, we are quite human, and as a friend of mine said, we don't do well as humans. But let's look at our scripture reading today in 2 Corinthians, there at chapter 4. And Paul is going to tell us three important facts, mostly all in verse 7, about witnessing and boasting. And they will be our next three fill-in-the-blanks in our bulletin. And our first fill-in-the-blank would say this: the treasure, let me read the verse, just verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The treasure a believer carries is the gospel. We carry the treasure of the gospel message. The message we have to share is the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it has the power for salvation of everyone who believes. Everyone who believes. That's the treasure that we carry around in us. The power is in the message. The power is in the message. Remember when we were talking about Jonah? Jonah went through 3 days through the city of Nineveh. And at least what we read in the Bible, his message was 8 words long. 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. And there was a giant revival. The power wasn't in Jonah. The power was in the message. And the message was given to Jonah by God. Romans 10:17 says this. It says, what does Romans 10:17 say? Oh, Romans 10:17 says that by faith, oh my goodness, I have gone brain dead here this morning. I'm going to have to cut this section out of the tape when I edit it later on. Romans 10:17, consequently, that faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Thank you. I didn't know that. I did. I just had one of these senior moments, okay? Some of you are saying, that's okay, Mike, I understand. But it's the message. We carry, as believers, we carry this treasure with us, and that treasure is the gospel message. Our third fill in the blank in our bulletins would say this, believers are clay pots. We are only clay pots. Some say jars of clay or whatever it may say in your particular Bible. But we are just clay pots. And let me tell you a little bit about clay pots. In those times, clay pots were of little or no value. They were cheap, they were breakable, and they were replaceable. They had another purpose that they were used for on occasion. We have a similar device in our houses also. That device is called the commode. And very often clay pots were used for the same thing. Now granted, even though Paul was telling us that we are clay pots, yes, we are saved by the blood of Jesus. There's no doubt about that. Yes, we are made in the image and likeness of Christ. That is true. Yes, we are going to be joint heirs with Christ in eternity. That is true too. But I wanted to bring that out to fill with the next fill in the blank, which says this. The power in witnessing is not in the messenger, but it's in God. The power in witnessing is not in the messenger, but in God. The contrast that Paul wants to make here in the scripture is this, that God in the message is everything. And we are just these clay pots. And why does he want to make such a contrast? Well, if we're going to use Paul's analogy of clay pots, what if he said that we were beautiful vases, or vases, however you say that word. If we were beautiful vases delivering the message, then the power might be in us. The power might be in us. But there's no power in us. The only power we have is the power that God gives us. As Paul says, we are just clay pots. We have this great message, and we have this great Creator that has sent us out. But what Paul is trying to say is this. We have no reason to boast in our witnessing. None at all. It's not us. It's the power of the message. And if we just take a second, I want you to just take a second and kind of look at all the people here in the sanctuary. Just kind of look around at as to all the faces of the men and the women who are sitting here in the sanctuary. Just a bunch of clay pots. Each and every one of us, we're just clay pots. We're no better than the next person. But we're certainly not as mighty as the one who has sent us. And it could be very easy for us to boast in our witnessing, especially if that person that we witness to eventually comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if we are to boast about our witnessing, we need to boast only in the Lord. So, we talked about boasting in our accomplishments and our talents, boasting in our witnessing. Do we boast in our salvation? Ooh. Do we boast in our salvation? Have we ever, or do we ever, find ourselves saying something like this? You know that guy, John Doe? He's got to be the biggest idiot I ever met. I tried sharing the gospel with him, and he tells me to get lost. I can't believe he doesn't get it. He just shakes his head and he says, "You, Mike, you are a fool." Well, I'm no fool. I get it. John Doe is the fool. I opened my eyes. And I know that God is really proud of me because of the choices that I made. Because I decided to turn from my sin and believe the gospel message. John Doe, he's an idiot. He rejected the gospel. I'm so glad that I'm smart enough to see it for what it really is. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, and I know that there are differences. I understand it. Any believer who thinks like this, like that conversation, does not understand salvation and the doctrine of election. I'm sure we all remember that controversial series we talked about last year that asked the question, if you are saved, did God save you, or did you make a choice for God, or did God make a choice for you? The doctrine of election, by definition, says this, that God, uninfluenced and before creation, predetermined certain people to be saved. But if our salvation totally depends on my decision, as many people do believe, then I have something to boast about. Because I was smart enough to make the right choice. Now we can be like that person who was in that conversation earlier that said, I'm so glad I'm smart enough to see it for what it is. John Doe, he is a fool. He's an idiot. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you're already at 2 Corinthians, it's the next book to the left. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 26 through 31. And starting at verse 26, God's word says this, "Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, and not many were influential, and not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. And he chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Our last and final fill in the blank would say this: there's no boasting about our salvation, because God chose the foolish and the weak and the lowly and the despised to shame the wise and the strong and nullify the things that are. One of the things I talked about in Sunday school this morning was there was always one question that always plagued me. Why am I saved? You ever see the movie A League of Their Own, starring Tom Hanks and Gina Davis? A movie about a female or women's baseball league during World War II. Pretty funny movie. Tom Hanks is the manager. And at one point in the movie, Tom Hanks says this. Of course, one of the baseball players, one of the ladies, she starts crying. And Tom Hanks says this great line: there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. And there's no boasting in heaven. There's no boasting in heaven. What do you do when you want someone to get saved? You pray, right? If Phil was an unbeliever and we wanted to pray for his salvation, or if we wanted him to be saved, we pray. Why? Why do we do that? It's his choice. What do I want God to do? Oh, I'm hoping God will choose him if he chooses God first? And when somebody does get saved, who do we thank? Phil? Good job, our boy. Good job, our boy. We don't do that. We get on our knees and we thank God in heaven that that young man got saved. Because if it's my witnessing, then I boast. If it's his decision, he boasts. And there's no boasting in heaven. If we're going to boast, we boast in the Lord. We need to understand that we were drowning and he saved us. We need to understand that we were dead and he gave us life. We need to understand that we were blind and he gave us sight. We need to understand that we were deaf and he gave us hearing. And it was all by his power, by his will, and according to his purpose. Don't ask me to stand here and explain all that to you, because I can't. But I do believe it. We came to him because he first drew us. And all of this, the whole salvation process, isn't apart from our will, but he moved our will. Romans chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, says this. What if God, choosing to show His wrath and make His power known, bore with great patience the objects of His wrath prepared for destruction? What if He did this to make the riches of His glory known to who? To the objects of His glory. Us. The objects of His mercy, whom He prepared in advance for glory. Even us, whom He also called, not only from the Jews, but from the Gentiles. I know there's two sides to this belief. I've been on both sides. The side that says we choose and the side that says God chooses. The convincing thing in my life was this. Then if I choose, I can also boast. There's no boasting. No boasting. It could be very easy for me to boast about our salvation or for you to boast about yours. But if we are to boast about our salvation, we need to boast only in the Lord. Believers, we are the most fortunate and the most blessed people on the face of this earth. And because we are believers, we need to give the glory and the praise to God for our accomplishments and our talents, because in those we boast in the Lord. For our witnessing and the fact that we can share the gospel with other people. And if we boast, we boast in the Lord, but in what God has done in us. Let us boast in the Lord. It is what the Lord has done in us. And to Him be the praise and the glory and the honor forever and ever. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer.